just do something now. Because then in a year from now, you don't have to be unhappy that you didn't take action right now, right? Because that's likely what would happen. You don't want those regrets. You want urgency to compel you to intentional action. What would your life look like if you could replace all of your working income with simple and conservative investments that could do it for you?
Over the last 13 years, we've helped thousands of clients transact over $500 million in simple and conservative real estate transactions, allowing them to begin replacing their work income with real estate investment income.
Each week, we'll be pulling back the curtain on the ins and outs of real-time, retirement-based real estate transactions that will transform your financial future, even if you have no real estate experience. This is Replace Your Income with me, Kevin Clayson.
And Steve Earle.
All right. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Replace Your Income with Kevin and...
Steve.
All right, and so today, Steve, we're going to talk about some things, and it's going to be really urgent because there's a lot of urgent things that we need to talk about. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk really fast the entire episode because we have a lot that we're about to get to. Are you ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Doing good.
Good. So today we are going to be talking about having a sense of urgency when it comes to your real estate portfolio. Steve and I had both separately, once again, this happens all the time, we both separately had conversations with people and had almost the identical conversation. And we were in the office the other day, and I was telling him about my conversation. You were telling me about your conversation, and that caused you to recall a conversation you had with your brother or brother-in-law or somebody many, many years ago. And I thought, boy, we've got to jump on, and we need to talk about this because we are getting questions every single day, and we continue to get them. Is, should I be buying now? What's going on? Are interest rates going up? Is the bubble going to pop? Is there a bubble? What's happening? And we wanted to jump on and say, listen, we always tell you that the best time to buy real estate is now. The second best time, or the best time to buy real estate was 20 years ago. The second best time is now. So we always know that buying real estate is important. But Steve, there are things that are happening right now that I think have created a larger sense of urgency for more people than we've seen in a really, really long time. And so today, we are going to talk about that urgency and what it means to you if you're out there listening.
Yeah, and we're going to relate this to real estate. But you know, to go back, like literally it was probably 25 years ago, my brother-in-law and I, we were having a kind of a philosophical conversation, right? We were sitting outside of my little two-bedroom apartment. I just graduated. He had just graduated. And we were talking about our up-and-coming careers and what we were planning on doing and so on. And he's very entrepreneurial minded. He's into real estate as well. And I was doing, you know, a lot of similar things. And so we were talking and just philosophizing, right? And he shared with me a quote. I think maybe it was his father that, you know, shared it with him. And he said, if you are getting after life, if you're getting after your career, if you're getting after whatever it is that you're interested in with a sense of urgency, you tend to be in the right place at the right time to have the right conversations with the right people to make things happen. And call it coincidence, call it luck, call it whatever you want. But if you're getting after something with a sense of urgency, good things tend to happen.
And I think that having a sense of urgency is different than moving for the sake of moving. So often in real estate, in business, in life, we as people, we mistake movement for achievement, right? That's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about just doing the bare minimum and going just, you know, I'll take it back to the seminar industry, right? So the seminar industry, for those of you out there, you know, that you've been to seminars, I mean, there's some really good stuff out there and there's some good people that you may want to work with. But for the longest time, I felt like the aspects of the seminar industry were like a plague on society, right? And here's what I mean by that. People will pay money to go to a seminar, to go to an event, to go because they say, I want to learn, I want to grow, I want to make money, I want to do whatever. And they go to event after event after event. They may even buy coaching after coaching after coaching. And they mistake the movement of attending the event and even making an investment in education or coaching as actual achievement. We are saying, hold the phone. That is not moving with a sense of urgency. That is moving because you're just trying to get out of the way of whatever's coming at you. It's different than saying, I'm going to act with real grit, with a real sense of urgency, understanding the importance of the moment. And for me, that's really where urgency takes its form, is understanding the importance of the moment.
And there's a difference between being in a hurry and acting with a sense of urgency.
Definitely.
Right? Being in a hurry, sometimes you make bad decisions. Sometimes you do things, you take shortcuts and this and that, the other. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about being in a hurry. A sense of urgency is the concept of you are staying engaged. You consistently, over a long period of time, get after something and you're learning and you're growing and you're taking steps, right? And you're taking action on a regular basis to get you closer to where it is that you want to go. And so there's a big difference between being in a hurry and just acting with a sense of urgency.
And so the reason this came up, Steve, is because you and I both had conversations very recently with clients or potential clients who were like, okay, I've been sitting on the sidelines for too long. And so here's the conversation I had, and then I want to hear about the one that you had. So I had a conversation with a guy who talked to us a year ago, right? Heard us on the radio a year ago. It was awesome. And, you know, we had a great conversation and he was excited and he wanted to move forward, but he just didn't move forward then, right? It was kind of like, there's still some uncertainty. I'm not sure. I don't know what to do. What's going to happen with the market? And while he was sort of anxiously engaged in the idea of investing in real estate, the sense of urgency was not such that it compelled him to take action. See, urgency, I think, takes form when we understand the importance, and then we take metered, measured, but very intentional and significant action in the moment, right? I think that that's really what happens with urgency. It's this idea of becoming very present and sort of like, you know me, I always love sports analogies. If you ever watch football, you watch wide receivers. Have you ever wondered what makes the difference between the really good wide receivers and the just okay wide receivers? You ever wondered?
No.
You could say speed. You could say their ability to catch a pass, right? But the reason maybe why I'm interested in this is the greatest wide receiver of all time is a guy by the name of Jerry Rice, who played with an unbelievable sense of urgency. And what separated him from his competition was how he wasn't the fastest guy. He didn't always have the best hands, especially initially. He wasn't the biggest guy, but his relentless dedication to running perfect routes. See, football is a game of inches. So was basketball, right? When you make an extra movement that seems insignificant, it can put your defender on your heels, right? You open up just a small, minuscule amount of space between you and your defender if you can run the right route, right? Or if you run it with urgency. You guys know I'm a big 49er fan. There's a guy that had a great rookie season for the 49ers back in, we'll see, we just got done with the 21-22 season. So the season before, when he came into training camp this last season, he didn't even get targets in the game. Like, they weren't even passing to him. And the coach said there was no urgency, right? So when this kid would show up to practice, he wasn't running his routes hard. He wasn't showing up before everybody else. He wasn't leaving after everybody else. He was just going through the motions. And as a result, he wasn't getting targets. He wasn't getting passes. He had a really lackluster start to the season. But something switched in a mid-season, and the urgency came. And when the urgency came, the work came with it. And all of a sudden, the importance of the moment began to manifest itself. And when he ran that route, it was an extra burst. It was an extra move. It was just that extra amount of effort that created separation between he and his defender, just a matter of inches, enough for a good quarterback to zip a pass in. See, we forget that, you know, we look at in football, we look at yards, right? We look at yards and we look at passes that were completed. We don't look at how many inches were there in order for that pass to be completed. We don't rate the passes in that way. But if you were to go and watch a precise game, you were to go and watch a precise quarterback like Joe Montana or like Tom Brady or my personal favorite, Steve Young, if you were to go and look at that and you were to look at what they do and how they see the field and the minuscule windows that they have to zip a pass in, and then for the wide receiver, that minuscule just amount of space in running their route that dedication, that urgency, the importance of the moment that allowed them to do just a little bit extra in order to get their hands on the ball. We don't look at the game in that way, but the thing is, the game rewards those efforts without acknowledging those efforts. The game of real estate will reward the small efforts without acknowledging them, right? Meaning, if you have urgency, if you have urgency, you will take that extra step. You will ask that extra question. You will not wait on the sideline and just hope that things are going to go your way. You will act understanding the importance of the moment, and you will act in a way that is an intentional way of taking real action. And when you do that, there may be thousands of things inside of any given transaction that your portfolio may not acknowledge individually, but your portfolio in a larger way, with the way you're able to grow your portfolio over a certain amount of time, it will be rewarded by those little things, by that urgency, without acknowledging those individual urgent actions.
I think, Kevin, you touched on a principle that's really important. It's this concept of to act and not be acted upon.
Totally.
And it's this idea that you are going to be proactive, that you're not going to wait for somebody to show up and like spoon feed you everything that you need. Like, you're going to make the calls and you're going to ask the questions. When you are waiting for somebody to get back to you because they're going to get you some information, if it's past the time in which they said they are going to get back with you and they haven't yet, that you're reaching out to them again. And in so doing, they recognize that sense of urgency in you, and they tend to give you more attention than maybe somebody else who's kind of just kind of hanging tight and just waiting and not, you know, pressing to move things forward. So that concept of sense of urgency is huge. Like, I just the other day, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he came into the office a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, he was sharing with me, he's like, man, I've been thinking about doing real estate literally for 5 years now. I've got the money, I've got the credit, I've got everything I need in place, but I've been kind of sitting on the sidelines thinking that maybe there's going to be some kind of a correction in the market and that I should just wait and just hang tight, as opposed to just make the decision and moving forward. And oftentimes you can get analysis paralysis, where you literally become paralyzed because you second guess yourself, you second guess the market, you second guess the people who are kind of advising you. And in this game, real estate is not a game of, hey, how did this property do for me in this moment in time? It's like, what was cash flow like this month? You can never look at real estate as just a snapshot. You have to look at it with the perspective of, what did it do for me over the course of 5 years,
yeah,
or 10 years? And so really, like, it doesn't matter a whole lot, like, when you get in the game, as long as you've got your plan, and your plan is to be active and engaged in it over the course of a long period of time, where it's like, I'm not going to just get into real estate like one time and then I'm done.
Right.
Like, it's an active investment where you're continually analyzing your assets so that you can maximize them over time. Like, you might buy a property and in just a few short years, you may be in a position to pull equity out or sell it and do a 1031 exchange, but you have to be actively engaged with that property to make the most of that property and the opportunities that one property may present you over the course of many years.
You said something that's so important, which is this: it doesn't matter when you get into real estate. Oh my gosh, we could do a whole episode just like, it doesn't matter. Just go, just get in. Now, here's when it matters. It matters if you freak out when the market dips. That's when it matters. If you got in at the peak of the market and the highest possible interest rate, or whatever, and then you freak out after a couple months and you're like, it's not working, and then you run for the hills with your hair on fire, then you are a bad investor. The investment wasn't bad, right? That's the key, is that sometimes bad investments, at least in this world, right? And let me be clear. There's tons of ways to make bad investments. There's tons of ways to not do research. Do not mistake urgency for irresponsible action regardless of consequences, right? But the beauty in this environment, Steve, is because we try to do what we do at Done For You Real Estate, that means there's lots of vetting, there's lots of people, there's lots of eyeballs, there's lots of stuff going on. We are not telling you to potentially or encouraging you to look at investing in a property or moving forward with a property if it has not gone through multiple layers of analysis and I guess just research, right? So in that environment, there should be no lack of action. There should be only, okay, what's next? And the reason why I say that is I had that conversation with this potential client a few weeks ago, and the response was, man, I've been thinking about this for a year. And my initial thought was, wow, what is your opportunity cost, right? How much equity have you missed out on? And how much interest extra are you now going to have to pay? Because back then you maybe could have done it at a little over 3%. Now you're going to have to be a little over 4%. Still an amazing interest rate on an investment property. However, what's your opportunity cost? And so often we don't view the world through the lens of what our opportunity cost is, but we always try to time the market. We always try to be smarter than the market. The problem is the market doesn't care. Okay. The market doesn't care when you act. The market responds to a whole variety of factors that you as an individual don't control. So if you can't control the market, the only thing you retain the ability to control is your choice to take action at the right and appropriate time once the appropriate amount of research has been done. And so what's key about this, as we look at the environment right now, and this is why we wanted to have this podcast, is what's happening right now. We've recorded a couple other podcasts before we recorded this podcast that we're postponing putting out there because this is the one that we thought, boy, there needs to be such a sense of urgency right now. And so, Steve, I want to talk a little bit about what is happening right now. This is not a fear-based approach. Let me be clear. You guys should not be freaking out. You shouldn't be scared. The only thing you should be feeling is an urge, okay? It's kind of, here, you know what? Let's use urine. If we...
How did I know you were going to go there as soon as you said the word urge?
No, but really, okay? I remember one time I went, okay, you're going to make fun of me. I went and saw the movie Titanic 4 times in the theater. 4 times, okay? And look, it is not my proudest moment that I cried every time. But listen, I was like 18, 19. I loved that movie. I mean, Jack and Rose, their love is eternal. What was I going to do, okay? I loved that movie. But I remember one time I went, and it is a long movie. It is not a short movie. And I like to drink soda. And so I got a big soda. And I would not, I mean, this, I've gone to a lot of movies in my day, but this one stands alone because I was in excruciating pain because of how bad I had to use the restroom, okay? And listen, it needed to happen. Now, why is that related to real estate? It's not. I just wanted to tell that story. I'm kidding. We're going to loop it back. Here's the deal. Look, if we really do want to have a potty mouth for a second, you know you could go and relieve an urge whenever you need to, right? There's no urgency that's there. But when you wait too long, when you're in a meeting, when you're in the Titanic movie for the second or third time, and then all of a sudden that urgency compels action. And that's what we're talking about, is the urgency you should have now should be compelling action. It's not a casual, oh, I could kind of do this whenever. I mean, it's going to be there when it's going to be there. But it should be compelling action because right now, if we look at what's happening in the market, and by the way, when you feel that really crazy urge like I felt in Titanic, it really wasn't fear-based. I mean, it was like, I just got to go and get some relief. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die if I don't use the restroom. And so with your real estate, we don't want you feeling like, oh my gosh, my life is over if I don't take action today. But we do want you to realize that there are things happening right now that you shouldn't be afraid of, but you should be taking action towards so that that sense of urgency will yield to a type of intentional and productive action. And that's really what we're talking about. So I think the first thing to talk about that we're getting a lot of questions on, Steve, is interest rates. What's going on with interest rates? What should we expect to see with interest rates?
Yeah, I mean, the Fed has stated that they're going to raise their rate probably 4 times this year. And with that, and we're already seeing it, mortgage interest rates are kind of creeping up. We're not expecting, you know, things to go well above 5% or anything like that. The consensus out there with many of the professionals who live in that world is rates could be, you know, between 4.5% and 5%, maybe a touch higher. And look, 5.5% is still an incredible, 6% is like, we have a lot of clients who bought at 6.5% over the years.
I remember writing loans at over 7% when we started the company.
Yeah,
I
mean, and it still works. But if you can get into a loan while rates are still lower, like you want to try and do that, right? Like that's a big incentive to move forward and take action while rates are where they are. Like two of the four homes that I bought last year, I got it below 3%.
That's amazing.
Like it's crazy. Now, at the end of the day, it's like it's not thousands of dollars a month, but it might be a couple hundred dollars, the potential difference in cash flow. Or even just your ability to qualify, right? You know, based on payments and so on. So there is a sense of urgency from that standpoint, because we don't know ultimately what the Fed's going to do, what interest rates are going to do, but we do know that they are creeping up incrementally. So there's a reason to move forward and to do what you can to try and take action sooner than later.
Well, and here's the whole thing with interest rates, right? Why are interest rates going to go up? Why is the Fed going to have to do that? Because we're maybe on the bubble for a recession, right? There's a real shot of it. You know, you look at the numbers and you look at what's happening, we may be there. Now, again, that should be nothing that should frighten you outside of it's a good time to do something. If the Fed is raising interest rates, it's because they're combating the negative, crazy inflation that's taking place. But inflation is another reason why there should be a sense of urgency. Because every day, guys, think about this, every single minute, every single day, that your money sits in a bank account or a something that is not real large interest bearing, especially if it's under 7.5%, which is real inflation right now. If your money is sitting anywhere, every minute that it sits, it loses value. Every day that it sits, it loses value.
Well, Kevin, if you think about our clients who bought real estate just in the last year, even the value of their properties, it's going up kind of dramatically, yeah. Like on a monthly basis, even.
Right.
Like it's really phenomenal. And here's the cool thing is like last year was incredible from an appreciation standpoint because real estate is keeping pace with or maybe even a little bit ahead of inflation. And it's anticipated when, you know, we subscribe to some data services and in the markets where we help our clients purchase real estate, investment properties, the expectation that these data companies are setting is that for the next several years, that appreciation is going to be in the high single digits and in some areas even double digits. Like when you think about an asset, a $250,000, $300,000 asset growing at 10%, like that's $30,000 a year. What's that divided by 12? That's like over $2,000 a month.
Yeah, it's crazy.
24/7 that this asset is working for you and it's growing. Without you putting in any time or effort in terms of like a job, right? It's like it's doing it whether you're there or not.
Yeah. I mean, so listen, it's a real swing, right? The money stays in the account and maybe it's subjected to inflation and it's worth less every single day. You put it into real estate and that real estate is growing and producing cash flow. It may be to the tune of double digits. I mean, now you're erasing the 7% or so of devaluation that would have happened had it just kind of stayed where it is or just in your coffee cans in the backyard or under your bed or even, I mean, having it in a savings account is about the equivalent of having it under your bed at this point, right? With the interest that they pay. So you could have it there losing value or you put it into real estate where it's gaining value, right? So inflation combined with interest, both huge reasons. If interest rates coming up, don't be scared about it. But the question is, would you rather look if you missed out on the 3% rates on an investment property? So what? Okay, it's gone. You can't dwell on it. You should have maybe took action a year or two ago and you didn't, but you could take action today. Would you rather buy a property at a 4% or 4.5% or a 5% or 5.5%, right? That's the question. So you have to put it into that context and it should create urgency. That urgency should necessitate action, right? And with inflation, it's the same thing. If the currency is going to continue to be devalued or at least continue to go down, and it might get worse and worse, wouldn't you rather have it somewhere where it's going to be growing and moving and trending in a positive direction as opposed to trending in a negative direction? And then you compound that with the fact that you could be paying less interest on the money that you're borrowing. And remember, you're not really paying the interest anyway. Your tenant's kind of paying the interest if you've got that rented out, right? So what should you care as long as you've got your money in an asset that's growing? All the more reason why that urgency should tell you take action now, because you should be trending this money in the right direction. So we're seeing that now. But what that leads to, Steve, is purchase price. Purchase prices are going up. With all this equity you're talking about, purchase prices are going up. Shouldn't I just wait till home prices come back down? What would be your response?
Don't wait.
Don't
home
wait.
Prices are not coming down anytime soon, is my opinion. And, you know, again, all the indicators point to the idea that we are not in a bubble. All of the experts I've yet to read, and there's probably some individuals out there who still think that, you know, real estate's going to crash or something. But I think the vast majority of individuals in the field recognize the situation that we're in. Supply and demand, we have a massive shortage of single family homes. You look at from the standpoint of even just building new homes right now, like they're not building new homes for less than what it cost last year. In fact, materials and supplies continue to increase dramatically.
That's right.
Labor continues to increase dramatically. So at this point, the homes that are being built are not being built really cheap and then sold really expensive because that's what the market will bear. It's the price of homes, like new homes, is going up because of the cost of materials and the cost of labor and the amount of and the cost of capital in terms of how long it's taking to get these homes done. What used to take 3 months is now taking 6 to 8 months. Crazy. And so the cost of capital has doubled, not because the cost, the actual, you know, percentage interest rates have doubled, but because you're having to hold the loan, the construction loan on that property for a longer period of time. And so from that standpoint, right, just the replacement cost or the cost to build a property has gone. Land continues to go up dramatically. There's a little subdivision where I live. Like, I'm blown away what these lots, what they anticipate them selling for. A 30-acre lot, $350,000.
Jeez. Like, that's just the lot.
Yeah. I mean, now, mind you, this is in Utah, right? And so yeah. Price homes, the median price home has gone up. But it's like, and then you got to build the home on top of that. Like, the cheapest home in this little subdivision that's like literally in my backyard. And I live in a kind of, I live in a middle class neighborhood. And they're going to be $1.2 million. It's going to be the cheapest property.
And if they're like any of the other lots that I've seen lately in the new homes popping up in Utah, you get that land and you get that home and then you get about 10 feet of backyard. And that's so nice.
Well, these lots are about third acre, so they're okay. a little bit bigger, right. but still, like, it's land is going up. Yeah. And they're not like, I don't know if you know this or not, Kevin, but like, they're not making more land.
Except in Dubai.
Oh, that's true.
But outside of that.
Outside of Dubai in the ocean, you know,
yeah,
there's not more of it. And so, you know, with time, it's a resource that is, they're not making more of it. I mean, I don't know how to put any different.
No,
so those are all
totally true.
Those are all upward pressures, right? And so, like, back in 2008, 2009, when the market crashed, I mean, there was a surplus of millions of properties. We have a deficit of properties.
Yep.
And builders are trying to build as quick as they can, but it's taking longer. And so this is not something that's going to be solved even in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard thoughts that it could take 5 to 10 years, you know, to catch up, to get to equilibrium.
Yeah.
The market does have a tendency of correcting itself and eventually overcorrecting. And so maybe, you know, the momentum will swing and things will go even faster. Maybe, you know, it's 2, 3, 4 years, but some estimates are as high as 10 years.
Yep. So here's the deal, guys. Look, if you are sad because you missed out on the appreciation that's happened over the last couple of years, if you are sad because the interest rates are a little bit higher, you know what? Splash some cold water on your face and get over it, okay? Because the reality is, it's gone. You missed it? Cool. Many of you didn't miss it. Many of you are right smack dab in the middle of it. But if you are ready to add to your portfolio or you are finally waiting to jump in, there is no better time than right now. I mean, literally, guys, if your money's going to sit and it's going to lose value because of inflation, if you could go and put that into an appreciating asset, because we know we're going to see appreciation because of the supply and demand curve, wouldn't it be better than having it in an account where you are just losing value? And you add that to the interest rate concept, would you rather write a loan at a slightly higher interest rate than it was a year ago, or at a even higher interest rate where it'll be in a year, right? And by the same token, if you wait that long and you see additional equity increases, now you're paying even more for homes, right? So listen, if you're unhappy that you didn't do more before, just do something now, because then in a year from now, you don't have to be unhappy that you didn't take action right now, right? Because that's likely what would happen. You don't want those regrets. You want urgency to compel you to intentional action. And so the recommendation we would make is, even with whatever economic uncertainty you feel that there is, when we take a look at what's happening in the market, we take a look at the property prices, we take a look at inflation, we take a look at appreciation, we take a look at interest rates, we take a look at supply and demand. It all points to do something sooner rather than later, like today. There should be no lack of action on your part if there is any sort of interest. And listen, if you don't think you can qualify to buy real estate, if you don't think you have enough money to go and do real estate right now, we are happy to jump on a call, to have some sort of a conversation, to help you know what steps you can take, because the reality is it would be better to take some sort of urgent action today than it would be to sit back and continue to wait and have regrets in the future. So any last words on this, Steve, before we conclude the episode?
No, I think I'm good. This has been a great conversation. The concept of urgency is a big part of what we live our lives by, you know, in the company and in our personal lives. And I think that over an extended period of time, living life with a sense of urgency really bears, you know, great fruit.
It does. I agree. You will be rewarded when you work with urgency, not out of fear. And there is a difference. When we act out of fear, we can act out of haste, we can make poor decisions. Urgency should be measured, should be metered, but should lead to real productive action immediately, right? It is a different mindset. So we hope you guys find some benefit in that. We hope that this was helpful. I apologize. I talked about urine. Let's just forget about that. Steve forgot about it. But then when I just said it, he remembered. And I got the look that Braxton thought that I gave him during the basketball game of pure disappointment. But we did. It happened. And now it's going to go down in history. But nonetheless, this was a good episode, right?
Fantastic.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a good one.
Thanks so much for listening to Replace Your Income with Kevin and Steve. Do you have a question you want us to answer on the show? Head over to Apple Podcasts and do three simple things. Leave us a rating and review and tell us what you think of the podcast. Then, in that review, ask us anything you want related to real estate or income replacement. Then sit back and get ready to have your mind blown. And if you want a shout out, leave your Instagram handle or your name. And that's all. Then listen in to hear your question answered live, unfiltered, and uncut. Thanks for joining us on Replace Your Income. And just remember, income replacement for you and your family may only be one property away. See you next week.